Sagittarius season. Sagittarius. Fuck it, I hate my fucking zodiac shit. I hate it. It's just all this vague shit. All right, Sagittarius season.
Welcome to we are not cutting that. Welcome to season 2, episode 17 of Brews and Bruins, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Kaylee Allard of Bruins Diehards, sponsored by Save More Spirits and DraftKings. What's up, guys? We got a read.
This episode is sponsored by DraftKings. The 55th Super Bowl is this weekend, 55, and a game this big deserves a big prize, not just some trophy. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy sports partner of Super Bowl 55, has up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs with their Super Bowl prediction pool. How's that for big?
This is too much. Hot start here.
I'm just going to leave.
You're not the first person who's been confused.
No, I just muted all of you so I can do this. All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl Prediction Challenge. Once you submit your picks, you'll have a free instant prize of up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the app now, enter the free prediction challenge, answer questions like who will score first, and boom, get ready to make it rain. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012, so they know a thing or two about big paydays. Download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code THPN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize of up to $25,000 just for playing, so use promo code THPN now and enter the free $55 million Super Bowl challenge only at DraftKings, the official daily sponsor. Official daily fantasy partner, Super Bowl 55, terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Beautifully done.
Drew, what you should have done when you messed it up the first time is just gone straight to the Quack Report one.
Wow, I should have.
Take it away. All right, Cam, you got a read for us?
I do. This episode of Brews and Bruins is sponsored by Save More Spirits. Check them out for all of your beer, wine, and liquor needs. They have all of the macro brews, as well as a healthy offering of local beers and craft beers from all over. You can find their locations in Somerville, Medford, Cambridge, and Malden. If you want to learn more, just check out SaveMoreSpirits.com. That is save without an E, more also without an E, and then just spirits the normal way, all one word. You can also check out online ordering at Minibar and at Drizzly. Drizzly coming with free delivery with the promo code Brews and Bruins. No spaces, and an ampersand in there. Brews and Bruins, not Brews and Bruins, just Brews and Bruins.
Nice, Cam. Absolutely nailing it.
We're so good at advertising. You should definitely consider advertising with us.
I am Chris. I'm here with my regular co-hosts, Drew and Cam. And also joining us, we have Kaylee Allard, as mentioned in the intro, because she now owns part of our podcast due to naming rights of the third line and possibly the part of the fourth line of the Bruins. Kaylee, how are you doing?
I'm great. I mean, I'm basically your creative director now, so I'm glad to be on the payroll.
Yeah.
Did you guys discuss the name of the third line on here yet?
I don't think so.
I think we like loosely mentioned it.
Maybe alluded to it.
Yeah,
if we did, we shouted you out. And I think we maybe mentioned the fourth line.
The kids table.
When we talked to Lauren, we mentioned the fourth line.
Oh, okay.
I like that you're not confident that we mentioned the third line, but you are confident that if we had mentioned it, that she got a shout out. Like, I don't know who was mentioned, I know what but kind you of definitely got are. A shout out if we did.
I know what I kind mean, of how people could we you, are, Cam.
That's fair. It's
how
fair.
Could you forget me? How could you forget me? That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, we're coming off. We're coming in hot off of the Bruins 5-3 victory over the Washington Capitals. Woo! 5 unanswered goals. I mean, we're all kind of buzzing right now. I guess initial thoughts. Well, let's start with beers, I guess. I don't want to skip our trademark. Drew, starting with you.
Well, I got a Sagittarius season. Sagittarius. Fucking A. I hate my fucking Zodiac shit. I hate it. I hate it. It's just all this vague shit. All right. Sagittarius season from the fucking what's their name? Oh yeah, Night Shift. Oh, this is from Night Shift. Nice. But yeah, some cool art on that, you know, because it's the Sagittarius. Yeah. Okay, so drinkability and tasteability and all that. you can drink it. It's an IPA with spruce tips, so you can taste that. The spruce tips, whatever those are, I'm sure you can taste them. So drinkability, 20. Tasteability, 28.
Nice. Cheers. Cam, what you got?
All right, I'm drinking a Overhop Brewing Company Cripster Sour Juicy IPA. Now, I saw this at the store, and I saw sour and IPA in the same thing. And I was like, I need to pick this up because I didn't know that was a combo that exists. So here it is. It does exist. I don't think I've ever had anything from Overhop. Apparently it's in Brewer, Maine, which I'm told is near Bangor, apparently. So let's give it a go here. Definitely not what you would think of as an IPA. On the sour side, pretty sweet. Definitely not overly powerful. Only 4.5%, so not very aggressive for an IPA. Drinkability, pretty sour, so I would give it like a 15. Not bad for an IPA, obviously, but still pretty sour. Taste, you can taste the absolute shit out of this.
Much I like think I want to.
It's one way to say that.
much like Tom Wilson was tasting the knuckles of Trent, Fred, Eric today. I'm going to give it about a 36 on the taste scale. Wow. Very tasteable.
All right. Kaylee, what you got?
So I'm super basic. I drank this last time. It's a Truly, except this time it's the lemonade. Last time wasn't a lemonade, so I threw you for a curveball.
Smash.
it's the mango lemonade one, which actually I like. This one's not my favorite. I like the strawberry lemonade, but this one's very tropical, so I feel like I'm on summer vacation. But 10 out of 10 on all scales because I love these things. And there's only 1 gram of sugar, even though they taste sweet. So they don't leave you feeling nasty after. So
and this episode also sponsored by Truly. All right.
Creative director.
I have here a Mikkeller San Diego Run This Town German style Pilsner. It has a pretty, these Mikkeller beers have like really good art on them. Let's start with the drinkability because that's off the charts. It's 90 calories. It's under 4% alcohol. You could pound these all day. Taste, you can't taste it much. You can taste that it's like, it's different than a regular Pilsner. I like that. It's definitely a little different. So we'll give it, you know, 37 drinkability and like 7 taste.
Nice. One more thing before we wrap in the beer segment. I have this really cool glass I like from Austin Beer Works or Austin Brewing Company or something in Austin, Texas. Is it beer? That's what I thought. Yep. I don't know if we have any listeners in Texas. I haven't checked our map in a while, but if we do, somebody hit us up on Twitter and let us know if they got some good beer.
I think we do.
So Texas Bruins people, let me know if they're worth, maybe I'll get some shipped up here or something. So.
All right, should we get into it?
No, I think I'm good. I'm going to peace
out, guys. All right, well, so two games set against the Washington Capitals. The Washington Capitals scored 3 goals before the Bruins scored any in the first game, and then the Bruins came back and scored 3, sent it to overtime, and then the Bruins lost in overtime. And then in this game, the Washington Capitals scored 3 goals before the Bruins scored any. And then they came back and scored 5 and made sure the Caps didn't get any points out of that. Cam, thoughts?
So, I don't know. I think the first comeback surprised me a lot more than the second one. I think, obviously, to have that happen in 2 games in a season, let alone back-to-back, let alone back-to-back against the same team, is insane. And I'm sure we'll get to that a lot. But I guess we'll start with that first game. I mean, you know, a lot of stuff kind of just – the Bruins always kind of just struggle against Capitals. It's one of those teams, you know what I mean? It seems like it happens all the time. And so they go down 3-0, and you're like, oh, well, here we go again, fucking Washington, and stings a little extra because Char's on the other side now. So, but yeah, I mean, to see them climb back into that first game, obviously you end up losing it pretty much right at the start of overtime, which is not ideal. I don't think the Bruins even touched the puck in OT. But that one kind of felt like, hey, we probably had no business even tying this game to begin with. So I was kind of glass half full there for that first game. Second game, obviously going down 3-0 again, not something you want to see. I don't want to say I was optimistic at that point, but I would be lying if there wasn't that thought in the back of my head that was like, well, who knows? They did it last, you know, they did it 2 days ago. And especially once that first and especially once the second goal went in, I feel like I kind of knew. I was like, they're going to tie this thing up. And then, I don't know, I kind of had a feeling they were going to lose again after, you know, another overtime thing. And, yeah, I mean, obviously to score that fourth goal and then get the empty netter at the end is definitely what you want to see. And again, if you show me two games where you're down 3-0 and you tell me they take 4 out of 6 points out of those, I'm pretty fucking thrilled about it. So especially against a team like Washington, that's looked really strong so far this season.
Yeah, no, it was great. I thought Chris was going to call on someone. I thought this was.
I was going to send it over to Kaylee, but I thought maybe you could jump in anyway.
Yeah, sure. It was good. It sucked to see Chara score. That was like the one thing. I didn't like being behind 3-0 in both of those games. That's an issue that you're gonna have to figure out. But it's good to feel good about coming back right now. Seeing Chara score, like good for him, and that's great. But it was just kind of like fuck. I don't know. It was just a little bit of a little bit of salt in the wound. I don't know. But yeah, overall, really great to see. I mean, dominant. Once they're down 3-0, they just like suddenly like this flip switches. Like, and they're like, let's play some hockey. Let's try to win. Maybe. Like, I don't get it, but
if you're playing against the Bruins, most dangerous lead in hockey, 3-0.
Pretty much.
Especially if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
So I thought it was going to be one of those nights. Well, it was one of those nights until the third period Bruins came out, but it started off with that weird ass interference penalty on Kevin Miller, which was we don't even know what that was. He like was getting out of the way and flung himself, and that was interference apparently, but at least they killed that penalty. And then right after that was when Chara scored, so I was like, should I just shut it off now? So I was not feeling good, but honestly, I think Pasta is destined to score tonight because obviously tied for OV last year with the for the Rocket Richard. And I think like he's just a machine. Like I knew he was once he breaks through that barrier, that's it. Like I'm surprised he didn't get the Hattie. I was hoping Nick Ritchie would come through with a big tying or go ahead goal, but we got Pasta tonight. So it just felt so good to beat them and have Pasta back and back in his element, even though things started off really rough. Like that game left a really good taste in my mouth because Washington's one of the biggest threats to us this year, and they always are. So coming back, even though we lost last one, coming back twice in a row with the type of play that we had is super impressive, and I feel good. I feel really good right now.
Yeah, especially in this weird schedule where Bruins are going to have to play against the Caps a bunch of other times. And right now the Caps are, they had before tonight, they hadn't lost in regulation yet. And so giving them a regulation loss when they were up 3, especially huge in division, because giving them that extra point, if it had gone to overtime, I mean, that's stuff that can make a huge difference toward the end of the season. And yeah, I mean, having that confidence going up against them the next few times, just knowing like, and it works both ways too. Like once you, if they get out to a lead again, next time they're playing, or if it's in the playoffs or whatever, you kind of see like, oh, 3-goal lead and then the Bruins score one. And on the other side, they're going, uh-oh, here goes again. And the Bruins are going, hey, we can fucking do this. And I think that's huge just to have seen it happen a couple of times. Yeah, Kayla, like you said, Pasta, he's back. Like it's great to see that he's 100%. He's ready to go. Made a really great defensive play. Obviously scored the 2 goals, had an assist in the first game. Yeah. I think just having that top line back together, got the erection line going. It's great. I mean, would love to see them not give up 3 goals, immediately in the first couple periods, but it looked like Halak was probably just not right at a certain point and got it back. So yeah, I'm overall pretty pleased, and you always love to, you know, see some exciting games when you're about to talk about them on a podcast.
What really sucks is that Chara has 3 points in 3 games. I just want to point that out. With how our defense has been, hasn't been horrible, but I'm just going to put that out there for everyone. He's been on a roll. It sucks.
Yeah.
But I'm happy for him.
I do think you're going to find a little bit more stability with the defense as we get along here. Obviously, we talked a lot about it with that first line, especially with the Bruins and how that was affecting the rest of their forward corps there. But I think having Pasta knock back, obviously, now, like we said, and he really does look 100%. It wasn't like good to kind of have him back, but need some time. Like, he stepped in, and it was Rocket Richard winner David Pasta knock right away, which is very promising. But that should hopefully stabilize the rest of the forwards there, and then eventually, you know, you'd hope to see a similar thing from the D. But yeah, just one more note on that comeback. I think, you know, I don't want to start talking about the playoffs or anything like that too early. But to me, that this is, you know, something that you look back at later in the year when we're getting toward playoff time. And obviously a lot can change by then. But early on, I think these last two games have been an indicator that this is a team that has more than what you're seeing at the surface level. And, you know, you go down a game or two in a series even, or even just in a game that is, you know, more important than even a condensed regular season game like we have tonight, just an early indicator of, hey, this team has some fight. They're not going to give up 2 goals and fall flat. You know, you can look back later in the year and say, hey, they did it twice in a row against one of the best teams in the NHL. That's the type of fight you want out of a team later on in the season. So I think kind of one of those hurdles early on and a little bit of adversity that they fought through here could go a long way in shaping this team later on down the road.
Yeah, and I don't want
to fight. Trent Frederick.
Hell yeah. Great to see. That was bubbling. We knew Trent wanted to fight Tom Wilson. And I appreciate, I believe it was Cam calling it out on Twitter, that Trent Fred Eric fighting Tom Wilson is five yeah. first names. Yeah. So.
I was going to look at Tom Wilson's middle name, but it just seemed like a lot of effort. there might have been 6 in there. We'll call it 5 and change, but.
Yeah, but I don't want to disagree with Kaylee too much, because I was calling for re-signing Chara, and I'm not sure if that has changed or not, but I've definitely gotten much more comfortable with guys like Jeremy Lauzon and Jakub Zboril playing heavy minutes, especially over the last few games, showing a little bit of an offensive game. Lauzon with an insane saucer pass to Craig Smith to set up that goal this game. And I think Zboril's looked better and better as the season's gone on. I think definitely a worthy third pairing defenseman. So, and at a certain point, you got to let these guys play. So I'm not too mad about it.
Yeah, they're not going to get better if they don't play.
Yeah, like I'm pretty comfortable with Lauzon. Zboril still freaks me out a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it's just trust issues. Maybe I just need to see more. But yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see a little bit more from Zboril before I'm fully like, okay, the job is yours. Lauzon, I'm pretty comfortable with their playing, and well, he's been playing with McAvoy too, right? Because originally I thought he was just going to be with Carlo or something, but they've actually trusted him with McAvoy, and he's looked good. He's shown he deserves time there at times, at least. I really just overall, not even just these 2 games, but the season in general, the forecheck has been unbelievable, and they're actually getting turnovers in the offensive zone and in the neutral zone, which I think is something they were kind of lacking in the past, at least on a consistent basis. And I think that's worked wonders for them. I mean, if you look at those, both of those comebacks, a significant number of the goals came off of turnovers in the neutral zone or at the Bruins blue line, or, you know, not necessarily deep in the Bruins zone and they have to take it 200 feet. It's been in situations where the ice is shortened for them almost due to those turnovers and that great forechecking. So I think that's been good too.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, if you're looking at any of the like expected goals charts or anything, the Bruins are just like all the way toward the top where they're not giving up many good opportunities or anything that would make you think that teams are going to ever score a lot of goals against them. And they might even have been getting unlucky in terms of giving up too many goals, and they're not scoring a lot, and they're not, or at least prior to this game, haven't been scoring a ton, and they haven't been getting a bunch of opportunities. But I think, you know, with Pastrnak being back and everything, that's going to help. And I think the ceiling is super high for this team.
What'd you guys think of Halak tonight? Did you think he had an off night, any of you, or do you think it was more our defense? Because he seemed kind of slow, but I mean.
He seemed a little bit off, but there was also, like, I'm not blaming all three goals on him. There was one where literally five guys were, like, between him and the puck, and it somehow made it through. So you can't blame him for stuff like that. The one that came right after that goal, I think it was the one that was right after. Felt like he should have had that one, even if it was kind of from close range a little bit. I just feel like he should have had it. So he seemed off, and they showed on Nesson before the game that, like, he, like, looked like he tweaked his shoulder or his arm a little bit, and I didn't know at that.
He got hit, like, directly in the chest.
Yeah, like, the collarbone area, chest. So that's when I started worrying about that, because before I was like, he seems fine. I don't think you should worry about that. It's probably just like, we need to show something cool to keep your attention. And then I was like, is that actually significant to that? Like, actually fuck him up. But he bounced back.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, a little bit of a shaky start. I think it was the first goal that had that, like, weird deflection. Just one of those shots where it looks like it's coming in high, stick side, and then takes a weird bounce, and all of a sudden it's by your pad. You can never blame a goalie for that sort of thing when he's trying to see through seven different guys and it's changing direction at that speed.
The one
immediately after. Yeah, exactly. sub-shouting against the Rask haters as usual.
As always.
I guess not really subbing it. Yeah, just kind of going directly after him because fuck them. But but yeah, I mean, the second one, a little shaky. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like he gave us three goals. It's not a bad performance for a goalie necessarily. It's, you know, you'd like to see a little better most of the time. But all things considered, like, he went down 3-0. He held them in the game. He didn't just sit on his ass afterward and get, you know, smoked. He held them and ultimately put them in position to win. You know, obviously you don't want to have to score four or five goals every game, but at the end of the day, he did pick up his game in the second half. And when he was tested by the Cavs after that, he held up to it. So, you know, I don't want to, like, overvalue wins as a goalie, because again, it's kind of a stupid stat, but at the end of the day, he did keep them in a position to win today. So, especially with how he's played so far this season, I think I'm pretty happy with it so far.
There's got to be a keep them in a position to win stat for
yeah. Expected games in position to win.
Second half of the game shutout.
Yeah. I'll take it. I mean, it's the goalie, especially if you are feeling some kind of injury, I think it can be really easy for that kind of thing to snowball. And you do see that happen even with, like, top tier professional goalies. Sometimes it's just not their night. 1, 2, 3 go in, especially one that you feel like you should have had. That can snowball. So for him to be able to still lock it down there after, especially those two goals in 11 seconds, you start to wonder, like, all right, what's going on here, especially with the injury concern Drew mentioned. It's really easy for that to escalate into something that turns into a really ugly game for the Bruins. So for him to be able to end up locking it down and at the end of the day hold them in and give them a chance to come back, which they take advantage of, I'm pretty happy with it.
And especially with Tuukka being a little beat up, you don't want him having to come in if you give up three goals and 30 seconds or whatever make him play on a night when he was supposed to be off. So yeah
that's gonna have extra consequences.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're really lucky to have him as our backup. Again, I don't think Bruins fans ever realize how lucky they are to, I mean, I can't remember the last time goaltending was actually an issue for the Bruins, so I'm all right with that.
Well, if you ask a lot of people, it's been an issue for a long time. Ever since 2011, for a decade.
It was when Tuukka didn't have a backup for, like, yeah, 4 years.
Like Nicholas Svedberg in, like, 2015.
Yeah. I forgot about him.
Jonas Gustafsson.
Yeah. Jonas, yeah.
Wow, blast from the past.
So all right, so yeah, go ahead, Kaylee.
Sorry, I'm like hosting. I'm like,
move us, guys, move us along, host Kaylee.
No, I was going to ask you if we're doing our Nick Ritchie tweet.
Yeah, he just wants to shit on Nick Ritchie.
Yeah, that's a good thing to move to.
Well, before we do, I believe the Hockey Podcast Network has something to say.
And now, the starting lineup for your Blue Notes Podcast. Tom Franklin and the man called Wags.
Hello and welcome to Blue Notes. I am one half of your Blue Notes team, Tom Franklin, joined by my teammate, the man called Wags. And we are your home for St. Louis Blues coverage on the Hockey Podcast Network. And that includes expert analysis. Whether it's at Enterprise Center,
when you're fighting for spots for the playoffs, 1 or 2 points could make the difference. And we'll be looking back at games like tonight here at Enterprise Center as lost opportunities.
Or at home.
Penalties, that was a big, big piece. You know, you're wearing down some of your best players because they're out on the ice for so many penalty kill opportunities. Just a complete breakdown.
Blues first round pick, Jake Neighbors.
Braden Chan texted me, and then the head coach, Craig Berube, reached out as well, and Ryan O'Reilly as well. And then the next day on day two of the draft, Tarasenko FaceTimed me. So that was pretty cool. So.
And we're the only hockey podcast in the Hockey Podcast Network to have a Hawaiian hockey correspondent. The Hawaii Blues fan, Guy Bensing.
In true Dan Kelly fashion, Dan Kelly says, F you, Keaton. I know who's the starting pitcher for Game 4 of the World Series. You damn well know who the starting goalie is for Game 4 of the NHL season. And it walked away.
And we have a musician, too. Not only is he responsible for this fat beat you're listening to right now, but he has also performed absolute works of art.
And it seems to me you played the game with a candle to your ear, never wanting to leave the ice when the pain set in.
So check out Blue Notes wherever you get your podcast from. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I'm Tom Franklin reminding you to not be a chump. Listen to Blue Notes and always play to the whistle.
A reminder that you can follow Blue Notes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Blue Notes Pod. I'm the voice of the Blues, Tom Calhoun.
Wow, that was elaborate.
Yeah, that's like giving me a lot of inspiration for what we're going to do with our ad. And I can't wait to put our ad in our pod.
Just us hammering cupcakes. Like, nothing against Franklin and Wags, but playing a Blues ad on this podcast still feels like a personal attack.
Yeah, it really does.
I didn't feel great about that, but it was a great ad. I gave it to
him. But yeah, go listen to those guys if you are a Blues fan. I don't know why you'd be listening to this.
If you're a Bruins fan who just likes feeling pain.
I do know there is one person on Twitter who is both a Blues and a Bruins fan. I don't know. I don't remember who that is, but I remember that exists. All right, so here was our plan. I was kind of hoping Nick Ritchie would score tonight so that we could continue the effusive praise of Nick Ritchie, but he's been playing well. We're gonna admit that. Don't mind seeing him on the ice anymore. He hasn't done anything super crazy in a while. Like, he hasn't committed to any wild penalties. So we've been on our Nick Ritchie apology tour 2021. And this phase of the apology tour is going to be repentance, where we read some of our old Nick Ritchie tweets and apologize for them. I'll start. One of my first Nick Ritchie tweets: LMAO, just realized Krejci fought because he saw Ritchie was on his line and was like, oh, damn, I'm a fourth liner now.
Nick we Ritchie, need a I'm laugh track.
Yeah,
I'm adding a lot. Oh, actually, Cam, that's your job. I'm not fucking editing.
All right, Kaylee, do you want to go next? Because I think you're the only one who has as many as I do.
Yes, we'll bounce off each other like the Spider-Man meme. Okay, so I'm going to read the dates too, because it's just funny how times change. On August 12, 2020, I just wrote, if I were Nick Ritchie, I would simply give up on hockey.
Cam, what do you have?
I don't have much. I really thought I was going to have more here. This is, I guess, for November of 2020. Evan Marinovsky released it looks like a Nessun poll or something, that Bruins fans in the New England Sports Survey overwhelmingly ranked Tuukka Rask as the Bruins player who didn't meet expectations over the past year, because, of course. And I just tweeted, imagine thinking Nick Ritchie checked off more boxes than the goalie who is literally tied for the best regular season save percentage of all time, LMAO. Yeah,
you don't have to apologize for that one.
No, that was just I stand by that statement. But yeah, Nick Ritchie, keep doing what you're doing, I guess.
I don't have any mean ones towards Ritchie. Actually, I have a lot of praise for Ritchie in my tweets, yeah, which is kind of weird.
I did scroll through yours. I think I found one that was like kind of
February 24th. I wrote a poem. It was Nick Ritchie, Andre Kasha, I feel itchy, I'm on the case. And then I said, now remembering his name isn't pronounced case. This is bothering me. Might delete later. And apparently I didn't delete it later.
All
so
right.
It's there. If you want to go give it a like, I think Cam's the only one who liked it.
There you go. I got you, buddy.
All right. On August 5th, 2020, I wrote, at least Nick Ritchie is bad in a funny and destructive way. Sorry, Nick.
Oh yeah, I have to say sorry. On August 29th, I wrote, Nick Ritchie looks like the senior in high school that goes after all the freshman girls, and I post a picture of his headshot. I'm sorry,
that's,
Nick.
That's a good one. To be fair, that hasn't changed. You just got better at hockey. So.
Yeah, exactly. Still, sorry.
Do either of you guys have another tweet you'd like to read? Or should Kaylee and I just start bouncing back and forth now?
This is actually a quote tweet of you when we were suggesting our captains for if Zdeno Chara were to leave, and I had John Moore wearing the C with Anton Bleed and Nick Ritchie wearing A's. So there's that one. By the way, Chris, you had Zach Rinaldo wearing the C with Jimmy Hayes and Matt Bolesky wearing A's. So that's also pretty well done.
Ready for that comeback.
Yeah.
Drew, are you out?
I got to retire Ference's number, have Ritchie pull a Bork, and switch to 12 and send that one up to the rafters in a decade or two. So I was actually talking about retiring Nick Ritchie's number.
I love how we're so opposite in this.
I don't know. I fucking hated the dude for a while as a player. I don't know him as a person, but I fucking like hated that he was on this team. I was apparently super on the
I love super the on board early.
All right. On August 23rd of last year, I wrote, Nick Ritchie just tripped Anders Bjork, just trying any way he can to commit a penalty.
Not anymore. Scoring machine.
Yeah. Sorry, Nick.
On the same day, I roasted him for going after freshman girls. I just wrote Nick Ritchie the second he came to Boston. And then I posted the I'm going to create an environment that is so toxic meme. Sorry.
On August 31st of 2020, I wrote, regardless of the outcome, at least we don't have to see Nick Ritchie's big dumb face.
We're ruthless. Hopefully he doesn't search his name. That's why he's on a revenge tour. Should I go now?
Yes.
August 23rd, I think we both tweeted the same date. The fact that I have to watch Nick Ritchie play hockey tonight is disappointing. Short and to the point.
I believe we two Spider-Men memed under that one.
Probably.
And then this year I had on January 16th of 2021, Nick Ritchie with a hell of a pass to Andreas Janssen. Who is not a Bruin.
For the Bruins.
No. I think those are my only mean ones because now I'm seeing all the nice ones. Like I actually just tweeted a week ago, Nick Ritchie for 7th player award. So I changed my tune.
There's a pretty stark change on January 18th of this year for me, where I wrote, I don't know who needs to hear this, but Nick Ritchie getting a shot on net from above the dot to center mass with no chance of a rebound is not, quote unquote, actually playing pretty good hockey. And then probably about 20 minutes later, I wrote, Nick Ritchie one-timing that studs past far side is good hockey. And then I haven't had a mean one since.
Wait, total Spider-Man moment. You said that was January 18th?
Yes.
Okay, on that day, I said Nick Ritchie is dot, dot, dot playing good hockey with question marks.
Ooh. Oh, no, never mind.
I love this for us. I think that's all I have, though.
Yep. I think I wrote on the 23rd, it's going to be funny if Ritchie is actually the answer on the second line.
And I posted the Michael Jordan meme and put Nick Ritchie's head on it, and I took that personally, and that was definitely my best work. So. Nice. I apologize, Nick.
All right, Nick. Drew.
I was just gonna say I took the time to look into my John Moore tweets, and they're a little darker than my Nick Ritchie.
This is the John Moore heinous crimes.
Okay, that's not bad. When I said darker, I don't mean like dark. I just mean like I was more vocal about my disagreement with the level of hockey they play. I don't know how to put that. Anyway, I had a tweet on July 30th, and it goes, hey, John Moore, I don't like your defense. No way, no way. Give your job to Clifton. And so it got three likes.
Three likes, baby.
Three likes and a retweet from Brews and Bruins account, which I did myself. So.
But see, no one probably sang it like that in their head, so they needed to hear you singing.
Well, I put the musical notes, and then I put the gif of hey, you, I don't like your girlfriend. No, I don't.
Okay, so you tried.
Oh yeah, there's really no excuse.
There was an attempt.
Don't worry, I spent probably upwards of 45 minutes photoshopping Craig Smith into the background of Tom Cruise and Anthony Edwards high-fiving from Top Gun, and like five people liked it. So
I liked it.
What's next?
I also did, yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone who liked it is here, including one from the podcast. Hey,
cheers.
Yeah.
What's next?
I mean, a little more serious, I guess. Much more serious. We had the Tony D'Angelo bullshit. We should probably chat about that a little bit. First of all, it's Black History Month. Happy Black History Month to all of our Black listeners, and to all of our non-Black listeners. Please support Black businesses. I know the Boston Pride is doing a lot of, they're going to do retweeting of a lot of different Black businesses this month, and Black Girl Hockey Club, always donate to them. Been doing stuff with they've been tweeting out like, here, put your Venmo or Cash App down here, and so if you see them do that, go in there and send some people some money. Yeah, that's what I got before we start to trash the absolute piece of human trash that is Tony D'Angelo.
Can I just start off by saying the other shoe is dropped, and it is finally time to stop the count on known racist, homophobe, COVID denier, and election conspiracy theorist, and all-around shitbag human being, Tony D'Angelo's career. And it feels good. It feels like hockey got a little bit better this week. Just a little bit better.
Maybe
not for
the
right reasons, but a little better. One small punch in the face for man.
One small punch in the face for man.
One giant waiver claim for all mankind.
Did anyone claim him?
I hope not. He cleared.
Okay, good.
Thank God. He got claimed by the dumpster heap in like the middle of Arizona or whatever.
He got claimed by the dumpster at Olive Garden.
Tony D'Angelo.
A bunch of people were making jokes. Like they tweeted, I think it was Elliot Friedman who said Tony D'Angelo clears waivers, and everyone was like, about time he clears something.
Yeah. First thing he's cleared all year.
Yeah.
So fuck that guy. I mean,
yeah.
to like take a little bit more of a serious note on this, I was having this conversation with you guys, Chris and Drew at least, and with some other people as well, but you can go into a lot of the details of what actually led to him getting yeeted out of the NHL. I like to think it was him being racist. Probably wasn't that. It was probably just something else that his teammate punched him in the face for, and that is when the Rangers rather decided to step in.
Even if it was him being racist, it took him being also bad at hockey for him to get kicked out of the NHL, which is another huge issue.
Just not to like turn this into a blame game, but let's not praise the Rangers for doing anything here, because they were the same people who decided to employ him. You know, as well as Tampa Bay and also Arizona for some time. This is good. Obviously, it's a good thing to see him out of this league. He has no place in it. Nobody who is pretty openly racist has a place in any professional sport. And at the same time, this is not, you know, this should have happened a very long time ago. The fact that it took this long, I think, says a lot about a lot of the things that we've discussed on this podcast about hockey culture. I've had a lot of people ask me through text messages, through Twitter, like, why is this just happening now? And the simple answer is the same reason we've talked about before, is because hockey is run by conservative, well-off white men who aren't targeted by this and are always taught it's okay to turn the other cheek and just watch it happen. And because it doesn't hurt them personally. And so, you know, we have this culture where these sorts of things go on. You know, and I had somebody reach out to me and say, well, he hasn't had any reported incidents since 2014. And aside from that, obviously not being the point, because and also not being true. But, you know, besides, you know, that's not the standard we're going for. It's like, you know, pre-2014 racism still counts here. But, you know, just because you haven't heard anything since then, even though we have, but just theoretically, if we hadn't, that's not an indicator that he's not a racist person anymore, that he hasn't, you know, that he's grown out of it. It's just, I think, a much stronger indicator of hockey culture, and things are going on there and nobody's saying anything. And now that things are being said, I bet you we see more come out. Like we did with the three Rangers people who are the personnel who said that they had concerns about his treatment of Keandre Miller. I know there's been conflicting reports out since then. I think a lot of people are going to say things to save face. That's how it goes. But that's the point, is that just because you're not hearing it doesn't mean it's not happening. And I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of things we've discussed on here with the status quo of hockey culture. So the couple people who have been saying things like that, I think, are just completely misguided. And while, again, missing the point about it doesn't, you know, he was still 19, 18 years old when he was in juniors. He was a fully grown adult. You're old enough that you should know these things are not acceptable.
And I think more importantly, has made no attempt to change or make any apologies or has shown no anti-racist, like, especially has shown no anti-racist inklings even. So
I think anyone who is familiar with him as a person is not surprised that this happened. And that says all I need to know about what's been going on the last couple of years, regardless of what we've heard.
The guy deleted his Twitter in solidarity with Trump deleting his Twitter. That tells you all you need to know.
That's loyalty right there.
Kaylee's really lucky. She got to be on for the roasting Donald Trump episode, and now she's on for the roasting Tony D'Angelo episode.
Pretty much just a rerun. Yeah, just run it back. Most of the same things apply here.
But isn't it sad that we have to keep talking about these things?
Yeah, I think that's I mean, that's a huge part of the point. And I mean, it's when you have all these reports coming out, and like, it sucks that it's mostly people of color in the media coming out and saying stuff about it, because if you're white in hockey, it doesn't affect you. Like you said, Cam, it's got to be incumbent upon us to come out and say shit about this. And I mean, obviously we're not directly in hockey, so we're doing what we can here and we're having this conversation, but needs to be on the white people in the media to ask the right questions, to, if they have heard about these things, maybe investigate further or say some shit about it. Cause I mean, it is insular, and you can get frozen out from covering things if you speak out about things like this. But I mean, if it happens enough, if it happens ever, it should be talked about. And I mean, that's, someone has to has to dive in, and it can't keep being black people and people of color.
I did read something. Yeah, I did read something actually where it said a lot of the media personnel who surrounded the Rangers said they weren't surprised about this. They basically said it was going to boil over at any moment. So that means everyone was aware that something was going down. Something wasn't right. So like you said, we can't applaud the Rangers for this. Like, they actually let it get to a physical altercation mixed with bad play to actually put him on waivers. Like, the NHL always takes one step forward and 10 steps back. Like, yeah, you put end racism on decals and the jumbotron.
Did it work?
Yeah. Is racism gone? Because no, but Tony D'Angelo is still in the league. You allowed him to keep tweeting, and then Tony deletes his Twitter, and now he's on waivers. Like, it's a slippery slope, and it has to be stopped immediately. There has to be zero tolerance. And until that happens, hockey will not be for everyone. Hockey will never grow further. People of color will not be comfortable playing the sport of hockey. And we're in 2021, and it's sad to say, but the NHL is light years behind. They're just now retiring Willie O'Ree's number, which should have happened ages ago, in my opinion, not even just from a Bruins fan standpoint, literally. Almost every hockey fan can agree. And I don't know if you guys ever read that article, Hockey is Not for Everyone by Akeem Alou. Yeah. And I love his quote in it. He says, for every one openly racist, there's 10,000 silent ones. And I think that's so true. And I think that embodies the NHL a lot.
Yeah, I think something I saw surrounding it was like in a Twitter reply to like one of the main sources, you know, with an article on it, was like, something about cancel culture. And I'm like, dude, like, yeah, if someone's fucking blatantly racist or homophobic or sexist or what the fuck ever, or all those things, if they fucking lose their job, then yeah, sure, I'm a huge fan of cancel culture, quote unquote. Like, fuck. Yeah,
it's called being held accountable. That's
exactly.
Yeah, that's just the conservative buzzword, cancel culture, for being held accountable for your actions.
When stuff like this just like it gets like politicized in a way, and it's like, look, I'll debate you on the economy, or if you disagree on gun control and stuff like that, we can have a conversation about it and maybe we'll agree to disagree or whatever, but this is not something that is even political. This is culture, and it needs to fucking stop. And this is not something you debate when it comes to racism, homophobia, sexism. And yeah, I don't know. It's really shitty to see people have that kind of view on it where it's like, oh, but like, why are you taking away his job? It's like, because he's a fucking asshole. Like, yeah, you can do that because when someone's a fucking asshole and making like the league and the sport of hockey just a horrible place for other people. Like, if you were at work making your office or whatever, wherever the fuck you work, a horrible place for people, yeah, you should get fired. It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, it's the difference between an opinion and an opinion that discriminates against other people. My point is that like racism is not an opinion. It's a, like a sickness, you know what I mean? And his right to be racist is not more valued, or shouldn't be more valued at least, than a non-white person's right to not only feel comfortable, but just like be involved in the league. And you can't expect non-white people to be involved in a league where there are people like Tony D'Angelo being employed. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to speak for Keandre Miller because he can do that himself, but if I were in his shoes, I would not feel comfortable walking into a locker room with Tony D'Angelo. And that's not being soft feelings hurt kind of thing. It's that this dude is openly racist because of my, like, not my personality, but just my physical being, like something that I have no control over and that is really irrelevant. Tony D'Angelo's right to have that opinion does not outweigh another person's right to exist in a space.
Yeah, I think people like get like hung up on like, oh, it's freedom of speech. It's like, yes, but I don't want to go too far down the hole and talk about it as like a lawful thing, but it's like
freedom of speech.
That's the government.
It doesn't mean freedom of speech without repercussions.
Yeah, it's just like the government like can't just prosecute you because you said something. Like, it doesn't mean that, oh, the NHL can't, like, bar you from playing, or the New York Rangers can't fire you, or anywhere. Like, if I went over to fucking Chris's house and said something racist, he could put my ass on a flight back to Boston tomorrow, or right then and there. You know, he doesn't need
Hope you wouldn't do
that. Oh, I definitely wouldn't, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, if I did. Jesus Christ, no, I would not. But, I could go on a huge tangent right now, but
yeah. Shifting to NWHL action, Boston Pride. Anyone check in on that? They were up 3-1 last I checked.
Oh,
They were up 3-0 last time I checked. So you are ahead of me, sir.
We're gonna have to check right now.
Yeah, they won.
Okay. All right. Cool. That game turned.
Holy shit! Did they win? Considering it's 7-1 with 30 seconds left right now.
For okay. Yeah, good stuff. So
Pride are back.
That'd be 2 6-goal wins in a row. Yeah. That game turned out to be meaningless because was it the Whitecaps or was it the Whale that jumped? It was the Whale, right?
The Whale.
They dropped out. So we're down to 4 teams, and I guess the playoffs start soon. Yeah, so the next game will count. I don't even know if this game counted for seeding. Did this put the Pride ahead of the Buttes? I assume it puts
them ahead, yeah.
It should, considering they just outscored them by 12 goals in the last 2 games. that's huge because that gives them, I'm guessing the Whitecaps finished first. I didn't pay too much attention to the other games other than the Pride, but I think the Whitecaps finished in first, and that would make them the 1 seed. So, that'd be the Toronto 6 would be the 2 seed, and the Pride would play the 6.
Toronto, Boston, baby!
In the playoffs,
nothing bad has ever happened to Toronto playing against Boston in the playoffs.
No, the GIF with like the dog and all the fire. They're like, this is fine.
The GIF.
Yeah, I know the GIF.
GIF. I say both. I don't care.
Do you say that people are online or in line?
Online.
Wait, what?
Oh my wait.
No, see, this is like, this is in New York. This is a New York, New England thing.
New Jersey.
That's not a New York, New England thing, because I'm from New York. Are you talking about, like, standing?
I'm from New England.
Wait, standing in a line, not like online with an internet.
That's just New York, right?
Oh, wait, did you mean the
standing in line? No, stand waiting in line. You were in
line.
Okay. Yeah,
thank God. That's like, that's a New York thing.
It's not a New York thing. That's a New Jersey thing.
Yeah,
no, dude, I know people from New York who say it too.
They probably just say they're from New York and they're from New Jersey.
True, I did not give you the exact. Yeah, okay.
True, I call them online skates.
online skates.
Yeah, so I pronounce it GIF because the G stands for graphics. And but the creator of the GIF calls it a GIF. So,
well, that is wrong. Just because he created it doesn't mean he's an expert in how things should be said.
Either way. I don't know. So that's cool. We'll be paying attention to that when the Pride go ahead and play that game. I honestly don't know when that is because it's been really tough to keep track of the schedule.
Like, I don't think they've announced it
they just played 3 games in a row, like back to back to back, which is wild. So I don't know. They're doing the thing. It sucks that teams are dropping out. Hoping that doesn't continue because they're going to be on TV on NBC Sports Network with John Forslund and AJ Malesko on the call. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We saw the big stream numbers. That's awesome. It was like 1.37 million or something like that, or 1.7 million. I don't remember. But
I think it was 1.37. I remembered because Bergeron.
It's there you go. I mean, it's just showing everyone that there is absolutely a market for this and how stupid it is to deny that. And
I hope you're listening, Tony D'Angelo.
Fuck that guy.
He's got nothing else to do.
I just have a feeling that's true. I think the Boston Pride saw the Nick Ritchie revenge tour coming on and they decided that, you know, give him a little company in the revenge tour action a little later than we maybe expected, but better late than never here. for sure. They've got it back.
Yeah. Anything to add, anybody?
Is it cupcake time? All right. Shall we get to it?
Let's get down to business.
All right. So do you want to intro this? Because I think you know more about what this is about than me.
Yeah. So we got challenged to the cupcake challenge by Sporty with Corey and Richie, specifically their guest. I forget her name. Oh, wait, it's Kat Silverman. And so we're gonna eat some cupcakes in one bite. But in true Brews and Bruins fashion, I followed the rules. I got a cupcake. Cam got something similar to a cupcake and got a muffin. And Drew, I don't know what Drew's doing.
Do we have to do it at the same time? Or we do it separately?
I think so, yeah.
It's got to be at the same time for sure. It's going to be a full stuffing.
It's good. All right. Well, then I'll introduce what we have. So I got Lucy's gluten-free chocolate chip cookies. So I'm going to eat. That's not all, folks. If you're watching on video, this could get interesting. So three of these come in a pack. So I got three, roughly the size of the, like the bread part of a cupcake. Well, then, folks, for the frosting, what am I going to do? I got some whipped cream. So, whipped cream. Oh, man. It'll be the frosting for our little... And we'll get the sound effect for those at home.
I'm so mad that I forgot we were doing this and just housed my dinner before we...
I ate so much before.
Dude, I don't think I can do this.
You don't think you can do that? Come on.
Dude, it's harder than a cupcake.
Bro, do you see the size of this muffin? This
stuff? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Cam with the muffin is like definitely not gonna be.
I'm not ready. I'm so nervous.
All right. Three.
Wait, two. Can I propose a toast to Tony?
Okay, I just want to get it over with. Cheers.
Mm-mm.
Wait, you can do it? No, he didn't do it. Wow, we all suck. That's pretty
good. Wipe that mustache, Chris.
This is a really good muffin, man. Lemon poppy all the way.
I'm actually really jealous of the lemon poppy muffin.
That was so much frosting.
It's like Kobe.
I like whipped cream.
What did you say?
All right. That was interesting.
Who are we challenging next?
I think Kaylee
might have an idea, but he has no way.
I think we're challenging Kaylee next.
To what?
The cupcake shop.
Oh, so what? I need to like upload a video.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe just Bruins diehards in general. We should.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the move.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because the whole network got challenged. So I think Bruins diehards. The bib is
off. Down. I'm down just because I want to buy a lemon poppy seed muffin now. Oh,
so good. I'm telling you, so good. Mom.com.
That was a really, really dense cupcake.
You're telling me, man.
There was no way. I struggled to eat that in two bites.
I don't think that challenge was meant for things that are crunchy, because I think I definitely was about to die if I didn't spit out half of what was in my mouth. Oh, so we all suck.
Well done.
Yep. What's new?
We don't have the natural talent that the Yotes podcast had.
I bet so. Nick Ritchie could do it.
Oh man.
Yeah, but Nick Ritchie could do
yeah, you've seen the size of that man's face. He could fit six poppy muffins in there.
Nick Ritchie's a 50 goal scorer in any day.
Career, 50 goals in his career score, maybe, but
yeah, 50 goals in 39 games. Let's do it.
Nick I feel Ritchie. Terrible now.
I feel like I'm just trying to find a way to end this podcast right now. Thank you, Kaylee.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun as always.
Hey, Kaylee, pasta la vista.
Pasta la vista.
And again, Nick Ritchie, lo siento. My apologies. our Lord and Savior.
All right, episode 17 of season 2 of the Brews and Bruins podcast, sponsored by Kaylee Allard, is in the books.
Oh, my God. Line.
Shouts the smolder line.
Shouts the smolder line.
I'm unwell.
Friday content is just us complaining about shoving cupcakes in our mouth.
Bye, guys.
All right. See later, Kaylee. Thanks for coming.